For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here we go.
All right, so rolling into hour number two, the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. We jump into today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, we've been discussing. I did pick up Phil Steele, which I believe has hit the newsstands today. And I raced and got it.
I love those dark horse national title picks. Well, Notre Dame, Texas, Michigan, Southern Cal, Florida State.
Which brings me to the first question in today's 5 at 5. Those are Phil Steele's surprise teams for 2018. Number one being Notre Dame. Would be what a surprise it would be if Notre Dame was actually good. So my first question is, who would be your number one surprise team for 2018?
And so we're talking about like a team like Texas. I don't even think they'd be a surprise. I think everybody expects them to be really good. I think Texas fans would.
That's his number two surprise team for 2018.
Would expect them to be really, really good. Can you say Florida State? They were 6-6. I think Florida State and Florida are both going to be a whole lot better. I think Missouri is going to be better. And Missouri closed the second half strong, but then they laid an egg against Texas in that bowl because they didn't let Drew Locke throw enough.
Well, I mean, Texas punter was the MVP of that game.
He was.
Really was. I gave him the MVP.
Yeah.
He actually gave the MVP to the most valuable player, unlike the NBA.
Unlike the NBA does. Yeah, if I get to count Texas, I'll say Texas. I kind of like where you were going, kind of off the board with Texas Tech, you know, Mississippi State with Fitzgerald coming back. I think with State, and they're not going to win the SEC West, but they could finish second in the SEC West, which would be, in the era of the Emperor, an incredibly successful season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to top Auburn, Auburn's really good.
Yep,
so if Mississippi State did finish second and they pulled ahead of Auburn somehow, that'd be a surprise. But, yeah, my surprise teams for – I had Iowa in the Big Ten – as those, I mean, people are forgetting this is the Iowa team that beat Ohio State by, like, you know, 31 a year ago.
And they're also due, usually every 3 or 4 years, they have a 10 or an 11 win team.
Exactly.
Because that's who Sparty beat in 2015, and Iowa was 12-0 going into that big 10 title tilt.
Yeah, Iowa would have been in the playoff. They lost that game 16-13.
The Spartans had, what was that, like a 21-play, 10-minute, 90-yard drive?
Yeah, but Iowa, there's no Michigan, no Michigan State, no Ohio State. They do have to play at Penn State, but their Big Ten road schedule is Minnesota, Indiana, Penn State, Purdue, and Illinois.
There you go.
They get Wisconsin in Iowa City early in the season. That's in the first month. And, yeah, I mean, again, like they're due every couple of years where, let's say, they won 11-2 in 09, 12-2 in 15.
There you go.
So, yeah, I had them in the Big Ten. I got Arizona as my team in the Pac-12, and then Texas Tech in the Big 12. I don't really see there being a surprise team in the SEC or the ACC. For me, those two conferences are pretty cut and dry.
And even if, like, if Florida did jump to, say, 9-3, I mean, it's still Florida.
Yeah. And
that's, like, my thing with Texas. Well, Texas is going to be really good. Well, year two, Georgia's done it with Jim Donnan, Mark Richt, and Kirby Smart. They've had the terrific year 2 years. Ohio State with Jim Tressel. You know, Florida with Urban Meyer.
Bob Stoops
at Oklahoma.
It's countless now.
So for a school like Texas with Tom Herman, it would just make sense.
You know, Saban did it twice. He did it at LSU and at Bama.
That's exactly right. You got both to the SEC championship game. You know, if you're talking about kind of the mid-majors, I like your call of Florida Atlantic. I mean, I think Houston will be good. But I'll double reversing it here. I think the original BCS buster, Boise State, might be ready to reclaim their mantle.
Well, they've got a big non-conference game at Oklahoma State.
And, I mean, Oklahoma State's replacing a lot. They may not be as good as they were, but, you know, if they won at Oklahoma State, that would be maybe a signature win against a Power 5 conference school that would, you know, carry some credibility with them for the rest of the season.
I like your pick on Iowa, though. I think that's a really good one. I mean, the schedule, I mean, listen, for as long as you've been a college football fan, what are the two things you look at? Returning starters and your schedule.
Schedule. And that's another thing with T-by-T. T-by-T gets Oklahoma, Texas, and West Virginia all in Lubbock.
They'll win at least one, if not two of those.
Yeah. They do have three straight opponents coming off byes, though.
That'll
TCU,
hurt.
Kansas, and Iowa State. But one of those is Kansas, so that hardly – I mean, Kansas ain't beating anybody. They're terrible.
They're real bad.
I mean, they've got that junior college there, and everyone goes to it. I think they'd lose to one of them. We got two guys going to a junior college in Kansas, and they'd beat Kansas.
They would. So Arizona's kind of your other team in the Pac-12 South.
I think the Pac-12 South is wide open because I think the Pac-12 South is going to battle the SEC East for the worst division in college football, but it probably would go to the Pac-12 South because there won't be a team in there as good as Georgia.
And the crazy thing is that that division, just a couple of years ago, you could make the case it was one of the best.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much coaching turnover there.
There is.
And, you know, USC's got to replace the third pick of the draft at quarterback. So.
And, you know, you talk about a school with a really good tradition. I mean, once they were great in the WAC, and then they moved over to the Pac-10. Like, Arizona State used to be really good year in and year out. And they've made a couple of hires who I thought were going to be really good there, like Dennis Erickson.
What about Herm Edwards?
I don't think that'll work out, but hey, what do I know? I thought Erickson would be really good there, and then Todd Graham, things were going well, and then they weren't. But, I mean, that was a program that pretty much year in and year out, they were one of the best in that part of the country. And, you know, Arizona was kind of burning hot. Arizona's one of those schools, you know, you brought up earlier when they had that big upset of Oregon, really beat them bad. And they're kind of the team in the Pac-12 that can do that. But then the next week they lose to Oregon State.
I think that – did that Arizona team have Nick Foles at quarterback? I think he was their QB then.
No, he's been in the NFL for a while now.
Has
he's like
he?
28, 29.
Okay.
But Foles was a quarterback when they might have beaten somebody like SC when Carroll was still there.
Yeah.
He did lead them to a big win.
Yeah.
But the win when they beat Oregon.
He led the Eagles to a big win.
Oh, my gosh, he did. Led them to a few. Matt Ryan on the scramble through the hands of Julio Jones.
Yeah. Julio Jones fourth on the list of the top 100 NFL players.
Really?
Yeah. He's behind, though, Antonio Brown. He's not the top receiver.
So were Brady and Rodgers 1-2?
Yeah.
Hard to argue with that, isn't
yeah.
it?
And then you've got those two guys.
I wouldn't have Antonio Brown as the third best player in the NFL.
Although, I mean, all that's going to do, though, for the Falcons is, like, you know, basically reinforce Julio's point to, like, I'm not going to be the 11th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL this season. They got to figure that out. Which.
Well, you've got the inside scoop. You got the source.
I mean, eventually they will, but, you know, I'm sure it's complicated. It's not just, these NFL contracts are the salary cap. It's not just as simple as saying, okay, we agree with you, Julio. You shouldn't be the 11th or 12th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL this year, so here's some more money so that you at least move ahead of Paul Richardson.
Right, who we couldn't pick out of a one-man photo.
Right, but, you know, as we know, it isn't. It's more complex than that. But if it was easy, then as soon as he missed, you know, OTAs or whatever, they'd had something done. But he missed OTAs, and then he missed that mini camp. And here we are. He's still hanging out with T.O., I guess.
I love it. He's in the Hall of Fame now, but will not be attending his induction ceremony.
No, he will not.
What a clown.
Jeff, moving on in the 5 at 5. We've talked the last couple of days about the kind of interesting phenomenon that you've got a team like Georgia with so much expected of it heading into the fall, but not a ton of their players individually appearing on many of these preseason all-SEC lists. Phil Steele has 3 Bulldogs in his first team all-conference, 0 on offense. DeAndre Baker and J.R. Reed defensively and Rodrigo Blankenship is the kicker. So for you, what Georgia player should have the biggest chip on his shoulder this fall for just being overlooked all summer.
DeAndre Swift.
Steele does put him second team, at least.
So who did he have, Damian Harris and Benny Snell?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those guys are terrific backs. Right, Swift is special.
Yeah, I mean, he's DeAndre elite. Swift averaged 7.6 yards a carry last year.
Right, he's elite. Like, I think the big thing with Georgia is you could go through position by position, and Georgia has at least one player who is all SEC caliber at quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, secondary. That's a good sign.
Yeah. And the key will be how many of those guys will make the postseason list.
There you go. Hopefully about 8 or 9.
Yeah, even if they're being overlooked so far in the preseason. I mean, like this, he's got. I mean, Georgia's running back unit is the 11th best in the country.
All right, that's. I mean, that's a good. Dell McGee is a tremendous coach and recruiter. Bulletin board material, right there.
Below Boston College.
Awesome.
Below Florida Atlantic.
I need to text this along right now.
Florida Atlantic is 9th. Boston College is 10. You know, it's like some of these schools, too. I mean, like Florida State's got Cam Akers. I mean, he's a sophomore. DeAndre Swift is a sophomore. He didn't get as many touches last year as some of those other guys did as true freshmen because, you know, those other guys didn't have Chubb and Michelle in front of them. But, you know, when Swift did get it, whatever it was, like 81 carries,
right.
He averaged 7.6 yards a pop.
The guy's lights out. Now, obviously, you know, it's a different story. He had Chubb and Michelle were getting the focus, but – you know, the little swing pass he caught against Florida to set up the first TD when we were beating Tech 24-7 and he went wide left and on the next play went over the top.
Yeah.
Touchdown he had against Vandy on the catch down the left side.
The one that sealed the deal in the SEC championship game.
That was sweet.
I mean, he had more catches last year combined than Chubb and Michelle did coming out of the backfield, so you factor that in too. And I mean, Swift had over 100 touches last season between his receptions and his – the handoffs.
He's something special.
Yeah. He'll be on the – he'll make the postseason list.
Fact, yes.
Hopefully he'll win the Heisman because I like his odds right now.
So 11th best in the country. Give me a couple we're behind again.
Well, the two immediate ahead of them are Boston College is 10th and Florida Atlantic was 9th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Stanford number one with future – Heisman runner-up Bryce Love, who was the runner-up last year, wasn't he?
It's amazing. So they've had, what, Gearhart, Luck.
Elway.
But I'm even saying recently, though. Isn't there a third one?
Luck, Toby Gearhart. Yeah, yeah.
Love.
Yes.
Oh, McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey.
So
yeah,
they've
had
four recently.
Yeah.
And I'll still go back to the 82. Herschel, Elway, Dickerson's the best 1-2-3 ever.
Did Plunkett ever finish second before winning it?
That's a good question.
That'd be good to look up.
Because he won in 70. Steve Owens won in 69. I don't think he finished second that year, but that's a good one.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the 5-5, Jeff. The first month of the season, September. What's the top four in the country after the first month of the season?
The first month of the season, guess who's going to be number one?
All right.
The Tiger Paw is going to be number two. Guess who up north is going to be number three? And Washington's going to be
Washington.
Number four.
The winner of the Notre Dame-Michigan game is going to be.
They'll be in the top five or
they'll
six
be in the
for
top,
sure.
Yeah, they're going to be in the top four.
You're right.
Because I don't think either one of those teams has a September loss after they play each other.
No, they don't. And again, like we've said, when you get Michigan or Notre Dame, we talked about this yesterday, especially if they beat one another, they're bringing so much more of the northern press with them if one of them is having a good season. You know, it's one of the things we talked about with Georgia's win over Notre Dame. That's a big part of what gave Georgia so much credibility last season, because that was a huge nationally televised game. Two great traditions, hadn't played since 1-1-81. Georgia won that one too, by the way. And, you know, it's just this unbelievable game. And so every sports writer from New York and Chicago was there. Then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you know, Georgia's good. And then Notre Dame started winning. Boy, Notre Dame's really good, and Georgia kept winning.
Yeah. They both actually closed the month of September. Notre Dame's got Stanford at home, and then Michigan does have that game at Northwestern with Northwestern coming off bye. So after they play each other in week one, they close out the month with a couple of potential testers there. But If one of those teams clears the first month of the season at 5-0 with a win over the other one, they'll be in there for
sure. Oh, lock.
Hands down.
That's great bulleted board material, though, Brame.
What? Florida Atlantic and Boston College have better running back units than Georgia does?
You know who might need to pay Phil Steele a visit? Elijah Holyfield.
Yeah.
Come on out and get your whipping.
Yeah. With his that's somebody on Elijah Holyfield.
He just like his – that might have been in those Sports Center commercials. I think that was the best one because I love Charlie Steiner too. He said you were just the 50th best boxer in the world. No, in Georgia. Steiner, come on out and take your whooping.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, Steiner was one of the best because he couldn't hold it together sometimes.
Oh, what was – he started dying laughing on the Mitch Blood Green.
And
he ran like a woman.
And Carl Lewis's anthem.
The anthem.
Especially the part where Carl Lewis went, uh-oh, I'll make it up. And it's like, no, you won't.
No, you won't.
Because what did he – he got Francis Scott off-key.
Francis Scott off-key.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Mitch Blood Green, when his eye is swollen
he
shut,
ran.
He said Mike Tyson took off running.
Had a couple of other choice words
like a few
there.
Other things in there, too.
Well, he had one. I remember the Expos, they had a Dennis Martinez who was a great pitcher. Steiner was just in. He had a shutout through six innings and had to leave the game with stomach pains. And he just, we're running on gas here on SportsCenter. And he just started cracking himself up and started. I mean, he just didn't take it too seriously.
Yeah, he wasn't the straight man. And that would, I mean, he was, I guess he does he still do Dodgers games?
I think
he was doing the Dodgers games with Vin Scully.
So I guess he was primarily doing the TV. I mean, for a while, I guess forever, what Scully was doing them both.
He would do both, yeah. And then I think, like, they would do the deal then where Steiner would pick up on radio and Scully went to TV. I think he was doing the deal like that Harry Carey did.
3-3-3.
Yeah. Because of the good old days in the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings when Dwayne Stats would –
what a great
with
perm.
With that perm, yeah.
What
he'd
a
roll
great
in there
perm.
With Steve Stone and Harry was gone. For a couple of innings.
Steve Stone had what a great gig he had.
Yeah. Won himself a Cy Young Award and then got to hang out with Harry Carey.
I pulled up, and Brayman, I love to just pull up old videos from the 80s, but the first night game, the 8-8-88, which wound up getting rained out when Bill Murray and Harry Carey both popped a Budweiser on the WGN telecast, and Arnie, the producer, was it Arnie Harris?
Yes, that was it.
And on the lower third, little TV lingo, it says Harry Carey and Bill Murray. I'm like, all right, that's one time where you probably didn't need to put those guys' names on there. I think everybody knew who those two guys
were. The one guy you maybe didn't know was Arnie Harris.
Right, right. But, yeah, it was just Harry Carey and Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need a lower third on that one.
I like
drinking a Budweiser.
Isn't that like, aren't you supposed to get fined for that? Are you allowed to do that?
I'm guessing they paid Harry's fines.
Yeah.
So I'm a Cub fan, and I'm a Bud man.
Yeah. With Dwayne Stats.
Great perm.
All right, Jeff, moving on to the 5-5. As we know, teams do have, their stretches of the season that are perhaps more diabolical than others. One that caught my eye already today, Notre Dame's last five games will be played in five different places. They play Navy in San Diego, Northwestern in, what is that,
Evanston, yes.
Florida State in South Bend, Syracuse in the Bronx, and USC out in L.A.
But they play a lot of neutral site games.
Yo, yeah. I'm sure that's for recruiting purposes. You know, they get to show themselves out in San Diego because they played –
No, I think
and
that's
for Navy too.
That's the big base.
They played them in Jacksonville a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's cool. Where they've got the big naval bases. That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean they're playing Syracuse and the
Bronx.
In the Bronx. I'm sure Syracuse is a huge alumni base in that part of
New York City. Yeah.
Yeah. So it probably works out well for Syracuse and Notre Dame doesn't have to go play in that
in the dome.
Yeah, that dangerous carrier dome. But anyway, for Georgia, what would you say is Georgia's most diabolical stretch of games this season?
I'd say
a three-game stretch. You can't say, like, all 12 of them.
Yeah, I'd say the after the open date, going Florida at Kentucky and Auburn. Because with the one thing, relative breathers, I don't want to jinx anything, before South Carolina and Missouri.
Right, you got a couple of cupcake games.
Georgia should be able to handle Tennessee and Vanderbilt at home. You know, if you want to throw LSU in there, that's fine. But Georgia has the open date after LSU. So
yeah.
Even if things don't go well in Baton Rouge, you can hit the reset button.
Yeah. I think that's the obvious one, with the Kentucky game being the, you know, the textbook definition of a potential trap game, and then you've got, you know, the Gators and Auburn in there.
Right. Don't fall asleep on UMass.
Yeah. I decided yesterday when I saw they're only laying 21.5 in their opening game against Duquesne that we should beat them.
We should win.
Yeah. Like pretty handily too, where I could take a nap during the game. Or maybe turn on another one.
Well, that's always the weekend though, because it's the week before.
Yeah.
All the biggies on Thanksgiving weekend.
Because what CBS that week will end up having to show Missouri and Tennessee.
Is Mississippi State Arkansas that week?
Yeah, that could –
because that's been that game that day. Like last year, I mean, we played Kentucky for that game, and it was a CBS game.
Yeah. Well, Ole Miss is at Vandy that weekend?
Nah, that won't be it.
So, yeah, there's only three conference games.
So, State Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee.
And then Ole Miss Vandy.
If Ole Miss Vandy is the Saturday 3:30 game, Greg Sankey's going to have to renegotiate the TV contract.
I'm surprised that CBS hadn't put a little pressure on them to add a ninth conference game anyway, because there are a few weekends where it is not good.
Well, that weekend's going to always be a struggle. And a lot of times, at least you got Georgia and South Carolina back early on September 8th. But with so many teams playing a big-name school that first week, a lot of times week two can be pretty weak.
Yeah. Other than the conference games that week, Mississippi State does go to Kansas State. Oh, and Texas A&M plays Clemson. So yeah, it's actually not that bad. Plus, you've got the conference games, Florida, Kentucky.
Right.
You know, we play the Gamecocks. But – Week three does have Auburn and LSU.
Yeah,
other than that, though, week three is pretty nasty, though.
But there are, you know, when we ran through the schedule a couple of weeks ago, there are those, I think there are three weekends where they're either six, and I think there's one weekend where there's seven intra-conference games. Everybody's playing somebody.
Yeah. Well, now that we're good again, I like to go through and try and figure out which games are going to be on CBS. The 3:30 starts. We already know one of them.
All right, we are for Florida for sure. South Carolina, have they announced that one
yet?
Yeah,
that's 3:30 CBS.
Okay. Como will probably be at night.
Austin Peay's 3:30, although that's not on CBS, but it is 3:30.
Yeah, that'll be a fun thing. We can do that one day later this week.
Because Georgia, Missouri won't be on that. You do have Florida, Tennessee that weekend.
What about LSU weekend?
Oh, actually, September 22nd, Alabama and Texas A&M will be the CBS game.
There you go.
But the problem, though, is they are supposedly limited to the number of times. Because if they had their choice, they would just show every Alabama game.
Right.
But they're not allowed to do that. So they do have to pick and choose. But Bama and Texas A&M will definitely be on
there
that
weekend. Jimbo Fisher's first year, for sure.
That's a lot.
For sure.
All right. Finally, we'll wrap up the 5 at 5 with the top 100 lists that are out, and the NFL's is the latest. Yesterday we were talking about, I guess it was Sports Illustrated that did a top 100 college football players. By the way, if you looked at the number one player in the SEC is Greedy Williams, the LSU defensive back.
Okay.
He checked in at number 11 on that list. So, is there not a player in the SEC that's... I mean, he is good. Got
he's
like seven picks
good.
Last year.
I would imagine old Mr. Saban might even get some bulletin board material out of that.
Yeah, one of his guys isn't the best in the SEC. Not even Alabama doesn't even have a guy in the top 10. But nevertheless, number one in the NFL for the second year in a row is a 41-year-old quarterback, Tom Brady. Jeff, is Tom Brady still the best? He's the number one player in the NFL?
He'd get my vote with Rodgers number two.
Man. Last time I saw Brady, Nick Foles looked better than him.
Nick Foles did play a great game that day.
That's not true. Brady did throw for like 500 yards. But
he was pretty good, wasn't he? Captain America. It is funny, though, you know, what they've been able to build. And I think in some ways that the personnel department, and we're talking about a team that's been to three of the last four Super Bowls, okay, so we're nitpicking here. Brady has just meant so much, and they are in that easy division, so they're pretty much guaranteed that bye and playing at home, so they need to win one game to get to the AFC championship. But for them, I liked what they did with Sony and Wynn. Very important positions, and they're getting some star power there because they almost kind of seem to be like, ah, we're the Patriots. We don't necessarily need that great running back or that elite wide receiver. I get it. They've been winning. But, you know, the other way to look at it with New England too, not to go too much on a tangent, you know, they very easily could have, should have lost to Seattle and Atlanta as well.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is they might need those bigger name players at some of those skill positions in a year or two when Brady's gone. They've been able to get by without him for the time being because they've had him. But hey, New England's only got one more player in the top 100 in the
That's
NFL
crazy.
Than the Miami Dolphins do. So,
by the way, when we come back, I have a fun geographic football exercise for us.
All right. Well, that is next. The 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.